and welcome to another edition of Leading and Growing Your Real Estate Business. Coach James Shorty, aka Shorty, and welcome to another episode. And I'm excited today to have this amazing guest on the show from BFP Property Group, Ben Plohol. Since first buying his property at the age of 18, Ben has gone on to build a multi-million dollar property portfolio. A qualified chartered accountant, he draws on his long experience as a CFO and senior business advisor in Sydney and London. Keen to share his property buying expertise, he founded BFP Property Group, working alongside his wife Samantha to help others make the smartest possible decisions. Ben provides a warm and considerate approach to buying for his clients, leaving them not only with an excellent result in satisfying and memorable experience. Ben retains a professional membership with REBAA and PIPA and REI New South Wales and CAANZ. That's a bit of a mouthful, that one. Out of work hours, he enjoys spending quality time with Samantha and their two young daughters. Oh, it's great to have you on the show, Ben, and mate, really, really appreciate it. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks, James. Cheers, mate. Thanks for having us on.
Fantastic, mate. So in the old accountancy days, what made you transition from that world to this world?
Yeah, so I think with property, it was always been a passion of mine. I bought the first investment when I was 18, so it's kind of been around for a while in the real estate space. Look, I think finance and accounting was a great start to the career, but I think like all people, you become a bit stale. You sort of reach the what I thought was pretty much the top, and I thought there's not much else I can do or what I really wanted to do. Work-life balance was a pretty major problem as well. So I think decided to jump ship and start something, create something of my own.
Yeah, but it's also a nice synergy because it's so important particularly when you're buying property, to understand the numbers and understanding, everything around that. Because you would see this as well. So often people don't know the numbers. They're just like, oh, that feels good, or that looks like a good idea. Has that helped you setting up the business and also helping with clients?
Without a doubt, I'd say 90% of our clients are attracted to us because of that, I guess, prior experience. So with myself as a CA, and my wife's actually background is in law. So we kind of have a pretty unique, I guess, skill set. And we've been investors for a long time. So it has really helped us attract certain type of clients in our business, which has just been great.
Yeah, fantastic. And so what have you noticed since the years of building your own portfolio? What have you seen the trends within the industry, and how has that affected the position that you guys are today on an industry? We'll talk about market in a minute, but within the industry, what have you noticed the biggest trends and the changes?
Look, I think without a doubt, the buyer's agency industry has grown tenfold over the last few years. We started 5.5 years ago, and even back then, there wasn't that many players in the industry. Now there's a lot of buyer's agents trying to make a mark for it, which I think is great. But I think the concept of what we do moving forward is going to grow year on year. But look, yeah, I think there's a lot of choice now for consumers when wanting to go down the path of engaging a BA, whether it's the right fit for them. So I think it's a pretty exciting niche of real estate to be involved in.
Yeah, and just see, like, if you look at the future trends, do you see it actually getting more BAs into the area, or do you think, people who don't have the background and the understanding of the numbers and the legals and the compliance side of things, do you think it might change? What do you see in the future within the industry?
I think it's still a very sort of exciting part of real estate where people want to get involved in. Look, I, it's not as easy as what perhaps people think it may be. It's a slog like selling. Buying real estate isn't easy. Building a business isn't easy. But there are so many opportunities. It's not a saturated market, which is great. So I think there is an opportunity for everyone to carve out a certain niche within the space to cater to certain different types of clients. But I think it will, the demand for what we do will grow year on year. And I think new entrants into the market will also continue to grow too, which is good.
Yeah, it's great. Fantastic. And I think that you hit a really good point around, yes, you know, one thing to grow a business, but also two to grow a BA business is there's multiple things that you need to learn and be aware of, which you guys are really nailing, which is fantastic. What are you noticing around on the market changes recently? And obviously with interest rate has, you know, rise over the last, you know, 6 to 8 months. And where prior to that, what's been some of the trends that you guys have been noticing in your dealings with clients and obviously properties in the market?
So I think this year, well, probably start of say middle of last year to this year now, the main issue has been borrowing capacity. So people's borrowing capacities have been completely smashed due to the 13 odd rate rises. So look, that's affected, I think, you know, all parts of the real estate industry, being selling or buying. But having said that, the market has actually been extremely stable this year. So I'm here in Sydney. The Sydney market is, you know, we're staring down the barrel of about a 10% return for the year, which is remarkable considering that there's been 13 rate rises since, was it March 2022 or something like that. So it's been ridiculously resilient, but I think the fundamentals of the market, you know, being ultra low supply, migration at an all-time high, has really sort of made the market perform the way that it has.
I guess on that, like that point around borrowing capacity, is that a real education piece for people out there of, you know, oh, back in, you know, a couple of years ago, I could borrow, you know, this amount, and now I can only borrow this amount. Is that what you're finding is a real re-education on people in the market at the moment?
Yeah, big time. You know, people's, like I said, their capacity, what the banks are lending, willing to lend, has significantly changed. So it's then, well, yeah, educating them on, well, okay, perhaps 2 years ago you could afford this, but today you need to, you know, look at something else, be at a slightly different location, slightly different asset type. And I think the major impact for us is probably our investor clients, where, you know, we're working with a lot of clients that are quite aggressive in growing out their portfolio, but the handbrakes have kind of been pulled significantly. But there's always other ways to manufacture equity, be it renovations or doing other things to grow your equity position. So we've spent a lot of time this year, you know, going through, you know, different alternative strategies to grow your portfolio when the banks have stopped lending, so you can't go buy new assets. But let's have a look at seeing what you can do with your existing properties.
Yeah, I love that because there's always many ways that you can go about it, and I think having an expert like yourself to really go, okay, well, that's not working. Let's try this, and because you're going to still achieve a great outcome, that's awesome. Now, how do you like? Obviously, you're busy. You know, like family, two kids, running the business, helping clients. How do you effectively work on your time management? What are some of the things, the tools, and strategies that you do so you can obviously fit everything in?
Yeah, it's a pretty chaotic day or week for us. So we work from home. I do spend a lot of time outside of the home office. We've got two young daughters. We're both at school, so I think it's just being just planning a lot. You know, it's making sure that we fully understand what's sort of, you know, happening in the next week, to just, you know, be on top of it and plan everything. Obviously, the business has a massive priority within our household. So it's just being, you know, very conscious of your time, not wasting your time. That's something that I've learned and continue to learn, you know, every day. But yeah, it's just being, you know, having your calendar really, sort of, you know, documented and allowing time for, you know, for things. And if it's not in the calendar, it doesn't happen. That's pretty much my mindset. But yeah, it's just being super, super conscious of time.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. And so, what about you? Like, obviously, we're coming to the end of 2023. What do you do in relation to setting up 2024? Do you set goals? Are you working to a bigger picture vision? Do you just keep continuing on? What's the process or strategy that you guys do for setting up the new year?
Yeah, so I'm in the process of doing, so every year, kind of, you know, November, December, we sit down and we do a strategic plan for the next year. It's just, you know, the old habits. You can't get rid of old habits as a CFO for running big businesses. That's what you did around this time of the year. So, you know, I still do that myself for our small little buyer's agency. So we're in the process of doing that. And it's all about, well, what do we want to achieve next year? What are some of the projects that we can implement to improve be it client experience or improve a whole bunch of different things that we want to achieve. So it's just going through that process. So we'll have it all, by the time we finish up for Christmas, we'll have a pretty, robust blueprint for next year of what we want to do. And then come January, we'll hit the ground running and start ticking those things off.
Love it. That's so cool. And what does the future hold? Like, what's the next 12, 24 months look like for you guys? Are there some big, hairy, audacious goals on the horizon?
Yeah, look, so we're a boutique business, and we don't plan on changing that anytime soon. We're not here to grow for the sake of growing. We've got a really great client base at the moment that, we just want to nurture and deliver as much as possible for. We do take on new clients, of course, but we're pretty selective with who we sort of take on as well. We're in a great position to be able to do that, but look, year on year, we do grow. I think next year it's probably more about, getting into some more content creation, something that we've neglected for 5 years or just not really found the need. But I think we're now at the point where the business is quite mature, where, I want to spend a bit more time, sort of educating, the market. And I think I know a lot. I think within our team, we're quite knowledgeable. It's now just sharing a bit more of that bit through podcasts or, through some video creation. And there's a couple of other ideas that I would like to do. My wife keeps saying you probably don't have the time to do it, but we'll see.
The art of negotiation. I love it. So we've got a 60 second quiz that we go through with all our guests to find out a little bit more information about them personally. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's go. Favorite movie?
Yeah, not a huge movie watcher, but over the weekend we watched Home Alone.
Ah.
It's a great series with the kids. So I'd say that's probably one of my favorites, even as a kid and now as an adult.
Love it. Favorite food?
It's got to be the barbecue.
Great. Favorite holiday destination?
Europe. So we've lived there for many years, and I'd say we still love going back there. Lake Como is probably one of my favorite. I'd say, yeah.
Beautiful. Do you have a morning routine?
I'm up by 5. And I must read the Australian Financial Review.
Okay, cool. Do you have an evening routine?
It's really mixed. It could be Zoom calls. It could be, we always try to have dinner with the kids every night. Could be hanging out with them, but there's always a bit of work involved as well. But it's a bit mixed.
Yeah, fantastic. And do you have a most embarrassing moment?
Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Okay, cool. No. That's all right. If you could choose 5 inspirational people to have dinner with, who would they be? They could be dead or alive.
I'd say Richard Branson, Gary Vee, Cristiano Ronaldo. I'm a huge football buff. Steve Jobs would be pretty knowledgeable. And you'd have to have a funny man there too. So I'd say Michael McIntyre, the English comedian.
I love it. What a fun, inspirational dinner that would be. Do you have a biggest regret?
No, I've got no regrets at all.
Love it. So good. And if you were prime minister for the day, what would one thing that you would change?
More incentives for property investors. That's the only way that we'll fill the rental crisis gap.
Yeah, so true, so true. And so do you have a best piece of advice?
Look, follow your heart, follow your passion. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it.
Yeah, so good, so good. And so how can the audience find out more? Where can they go? Have you got socials? Have you got website? Share us those details.
Yeah, it's probably the best place is the website, bfpproperty.com. All the links to the socials are there. But yeah, bfpproperty.com is our website.
And you've got some great resources on there as well. So go and check it out. Some lots of information on there. Fantastic. Ben, really appreciate your advice, your understanding of the market, understanding of the knowledge and everything in between. Mate, thank you once again for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks, James. Cheers.